most followed brand in Houston sports media.
Yes, who?
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, well, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Just finishing up this David Ortiz thing, and Todd, who is a big baseball fan. I mean, he's right. I was looking at this as well. How many times did David Ortiz in his 5 years in Minnesota, 6 years in Minnesota, lead the league in any category?
I'm going to guess none.
Zero. How many? Zero all-star appearances, zero votes for the Hall of Fame. Zero. He was a big zero. He had, in 6 years, he hit 28, 37, 38 home runs in 6 years.
Total.
He got total. He hit 32. He hit, excuse me. Whoa. He hit 58. 58 home runs in his 6 years.
Although, to be fair,
under 10,
first 3 years were not
right,
much more.
Not very productive. But he hit 10, 18, and 20. He got to Boston, 31, 41, 47, 54. Now, it's a different park. And an easier part to home run.
54, there were no steroids in baseball by 2006. It was all out.
So, you know, how many total MVPs did David Ortiz win?
He used.
Zero.
No, but he finished 4, 2, 3, yeah. 4,
zero
10,
MVPs. That's still zero.
6.
MVPs. 28th, no votes, no votes, no votes, no
he
votes,
finished
no
top
votes,
four
no votes.
He's finished top 5 for 5 years in a row. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Top 5.
I mean, he led the league in home and RBIs twice during that time. Home runs once, 54.
Okay. His entire career, he led the league in RBIs 3 times.
But look.
In 20 years, 3 times.
I mean, he's in the middle of the steroid stuff. 101, 139, 148, 137, 117. In terms of the power numbers, his OPS, you know what's interesting? His OPS was only over 1,000 five times in his career, including, interestingly enough, his last year in Boston.
His career OPS?
Dude, his last year in Boston, he had 38 home runs at age 40. You think he went back for little tuna?
Please. At age 40, he hit 38 homers.
38 homers and 127 RBIs.
Right. Okay, whatever.
And led the league in slugging and OPS.
In OPS. Okay, whatever. His career OPS, 12 points lower than Lance Berkman's.
Yeah.
12 points lower than Lance Berkman's. How many times, and Lance Berkman's OPS is 943. Carlos Correa is getting ready to make $300 million. How many times has Carlos Correa had an OPS of 943 or higher?
Two.
Zero.
Did you say Carlos Correa?
Yeah. Zero.
943 or higher?
943 or higher. Zero. Lance Berkman's career OPS.
Not even in that special 17 season?
Not even in that special 17 season. He's had 941 and 926. And then all in the 800s or
you
seven.
Can think whatever you want about what Lance said about his religious beliefs and transgender bathrooms or whatever.
Political beliefs.
You can believe what, you can think whatever you want. But if you look at the baseball, this is, I like to keep my, you know, whatever your political beliefs are, that's fine. That's your opinion to have your political beliefs. But I like to judge you on what you're doing sports related and be consistent and honest and fair and accurate. Lance Berkman finishing over 10 points higher than a known steroid user and doing so at multiple positions for multiple teams.
This versus is a guy that didn't play a position.
This is a joke that he's first ballot Hall of Fame and the other guy's off the ballot, rolls
in
off the ballot.
Year.
That is an absolute travesty. Not enough was made out of that.
No.
And Astros fans, frankly, didn't make enough out of that.
No.
Astros fans who are protective of their squad, which is great for a fan base. Astros fans should have made a bigger deal about Big Puma having more serious consideration for Hall of Fame. I'm not saying he was necessarily a Hall of Famer because he didn't have the same prodigious power numbers that Big Poppy did. And yet the true power stat, you know, driving it into the gap and stuff like that. Not just home runs. The consistency of pop is OPS. Well, it's one of them is OPS, but OPS is also a signifier of your ability to help influence and create runs.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Berkman, 12 points higher than Big Poppy, rolls off the ballot immediately. And this guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer. More should have been made about that.
Absolutely.
From Astros fans to have his back. And I don't care about whatever your thoughts are on his politics or whatever. That's fine. I get it. He's never been accused of steroids, never been accused of dalliances off the field. He's never been had run-ins with DUI or anything like that. All Lance Berkman did is rake and say funny stuff on the radio.
That's all he did.
And then made comments that people didn't like, and I get it. You're certainly welcome to your opinion, just as he is. But here's the thing. It should not have an impact on flying off the ballot for the Hall of Fame when you look at everyone else in his. And he came in slightly, in an era slightly after them. And nobody in baseball ever believed Lance Berkman did any steroids.
No. Look at his body. He was fat.
No, he wasn't. He had a fat face. He's already said that. Like Matt Stafford has a fat face.
Matt Stafford's not a fat guy. No one ever accused Matt Stafford of being soft Lance Berkman.
Are you kidding me? Matt Stafford face? Matt Stafford fat
Jim Plunkett face.
Matt Stafford fat face. Look at this. Told you. No.
That's photoshopped.
What about that?
That's kind of a fat face.
Yeah.
But no one thinks of him as fat.
No,
like
but
everybody thought Lance Berkman was fat.
No, but they're wrong. You've seen Lance Berkman. Lance Berkman
hated being called Fat Elvis.
Lance Berkman is not fat and never was fat.
No,
he's not. He hated being called Fat Elvis because he had a fat face.
If you're skinny, would you be called the Big Pumbaa? No.
Yeah. So he was. He claimed, so he mentioned us the other day on Channel 2. I don't know if you saw the video with that, about the nickname Big Puma. And he said he gave himself the nickname, and he did give himself Puma.
You called him Big Puma.
Now, I called him Big Puma. He said he did it. But I called him Big Puma. He said he was a Puma. I'm sleek like a Puma.
Yeah.
And I said Big Puma because that's what Shaq was calling everybody at the time. Big this, big that. Yeah. And so I said, you're like Big Puma. And that's how I got started. So he's the one who created Puma. And that's how Big Puma got started. And we just, of course,
it was probably because I was calling him fat and slow at that time. So he said, I'm sleek like a Puma.
Lance Berkman was never a fat guy.
I know, but I like to call him that just for fun.
No, there's some pictures that catch him at weird angles.
Right.
You know, that's it. But any of us could get, you know, clipped like that.
Oh, anybody ever get caught trying to run off the field with two outs and then have a knee injury?
Yeah.
Looked at by the trainer and then run back to first base? Lance.
I mean, look. Lance was in good shape.
No, he wasn't.
Sometimes he was a little...
Well, remember they threw Twinkies at him. Of course everybody thought he was fat. That's
fine. Some people have fuller faces. There's nothing you can do about it.
I know. All right.
Now that's a picture that just catches him at a bad angle. When he won the World Series, that's a bad angle. He's wearing a shirt that's super baggy. It's catching him at a bad angle.
Looks like a fat guy, if you want to know the truth.
Fat guy with a World Series trophy.
Okay.
No Hall of Fame votes.
How upset will all of you guys be when they run out on the field for the 2022 season and Jeremy Peña is your starting shortstop?
We're going to back him and cheer for him very loudly, especially if he's done well in spring, because that is what's happening.
So, listen, I'm telling you, I think that there's some kind of campaign going on here. I don't know that R.J. Anderson is on the take from the Houston Astros, but I could certainly believe where I could see where the Astros maybe are trying to push the narrative. Hey, that Jeremy Peña now. Hey, look, did you guys see what he did in the Dominican Republic? Did you guys see? Did you catch what he was doing this winter? Hey.
No, we're going to care.
Look at R.J. Anderson says their number one prospect in the Houston Astros organization, not Corey Lee, Jeremy Peña.
Well, who said that?
R.J. Anderson.
From where?
He is a CBS MLB guy.
And we care what he says. Is he with Baseball America or is he an intern?
I think Baseball America might.
Is he Kenny Van Dorn from Climbing Towels Hill, who is our intern?
I think Kenny Van Dorn might have him number one, too.
Jeremy Peña is number one because he's going to be up. Corey Lee, for everybody else, has Corey Lee.
I'm not sure.
Although Pena's home run numbers have really skyrocketed the last 3 years.
So,
or over the last 3 years.
So his numbers are this.
Well, skyrocket is a relative term.
Before he did not undergo before he gone, he did not return for a 30-game stretch in AAA to close out the campaign, where he hit 287, 346, 598 with 10 homers. He since hit 291, 364, 410 in 30 winter ball games, and that's in the Dominican, where it ain't so easy. He also won the Gold Glove for shortstop. So Jeremy Pena is very likely. I wouldn't be upset at all if they don't go out and find a center fielder that they know can hit, that is a bigger name than a shortstop. If I hear Trevor Story one more time, my head's going
to
explode.
Don't pay attention to people who say that. I don't want a guy with a 600 OPS away from Colorado.
Why would you pay him all that money when you have Carlos Correa here? Don't do it. It doesn't make any sense at all. Especially a guy who's unproven at any park other than Coors Field. So Jeremy Pena is the number one prospect, according to CBS Sports. Corey Lee, number two. Pedro León is number three.
We got some things working. We got some things brewing.
I'd like
some pitchers to be brewing, too.
You can put up with Machete's bat for another year because of his glove. And because of how well liked, and because of his leadership, and he's one of the guys. But at some point, you got to get some offense. And if you're going to have Jake Myers, if you're going to have Jeremy Pena, you can't have dead spots in the order. You can't have those are the possible three dead spots in the lineup. And I don't know that Jeremy Pena won't hit at the major league level. And we saw Jake Myers. We saw Chaz McCormick. We've seen Jose Siri. We've got Pedro León in the mix as well. I think there might be an infusion while this window is still open, and you've got Justin Verlander still and Fromber, and you're not paying Fromber. I think that there's a chance that you're going to start to see these young guys come up and making contributions.
Well, why would you do that if you have your window, like you just said?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
Don't you want to limit two young guys?
But again, I'm not giving 10 years to Carlos. I'm not paying Trevor Story. You missed out
on... Stop mentioning his name.
Who? Trevor Story? Yeah, I know.
That's Beetlejuice.
I
don't want a 600 OPS guy away from his park.
Right.
No thanks. It's not even... There's no way they're even considering it.
An
analytics-driven team looking at a guy who is only a hitter in Coors? They're not even going to consider it. They won't even consider it.
So, I think unless you go out and you get that big name, you didn't get Starling Marte, which is something I think that they wanted to do. And then if they got Starling Marte and then plugged in Jeremy Pena, you'd be like, you know what? It's actually a trade-off. Instead of the guy that you don't know about in center field, whether or not he's going to hit, now you got the guy at shortstop. You're not sure if he's going to hit, but he sure can play short. We've seen him as a Gold Glover in the Dominican. We'll see if he can continue to do it at the major league level, obviously. He's going to be a drop-off from Carlos. But you know what? Every single shortstop that you bring in here is going to be a drop-off from Carlos Correa. So that we got to forget about that. That Carlos Correa train looks like it's riding into the sunset. We got to forget about
that. Okay. Aaron, mark this down. It's now 14 consecutive days where John tries to crap all over the whole city about Carlos Correa.
And, what do you mean?
He wet blankets us into oblivion. It's too cold outside to have wet blankets on.
It's not. It's going to warm up so we can play golf.
So the whole city needs to know Carlos is gone.
Well, no. Carlos is more than likely. He's got Scott Boras. He ain't staying.
None of us think. You don't have to keep telling us that and shoving it in our face.
What are you talking about?
We already know he's not staying. Listen. You like have to tell us every day.
Listen.
Put it in our face.
Lance.
Hey, did you see this? Looks like Scott Boras is here and took Carlos Correa, got him a brand new Bugatti.
Sorry, Lance. Daddy's got a brand new girlfriend, okay? We're going to have to move on. Mommy's going to have to find a guy herself. Mommy's going to have to, and I know you don't like it.
Have you seen Alyssa in a bathing suit, Trey? I don't want her to be my stepmommy. Look at this, Trey.
Sorry.
You should follow her on Insta.
Look at her.
You should follow her on Insta.
Guess what?
He's the dude who
Does mommy ever look like this?
No. He's the guy who goes to his buddy and goes, man, you remember that girl you had a couple years ago? She was so hot. She cheated on you. How much did that hurt? Yeah, remember that? But she was so hot, but yeah, she cheated on you. It sucks.
I don't want, you don't have to keep telling me that Carlos isn't going to come. I already know, or he's not going to stay. I already know. You don't have to keep telling us, like, so forget it, Houston. Stop your daydreaming.
No, I'm not saying
that. Get used to it. He's not staying.
I'm not saying that.
That's how you make it sound every day.
We got to get used to Jeremy Pena.
We're used to him. Fine. Bring him on. Stop crapping on us all the time. And telling
916.
It's not happening. All right? Forget it. Idiots.
No, not Bill O'Brien in you. I'm just telling you, we got mommy's moving on. Daddy's moving on. Okay. He's got a new girlfriend.
Hey, by the way, Childish Altuve says, righty Puma, not a Hall of Famer. Lefty Puma.
Oh, righty Puma. Oh, really? Righty Puma finished second in the home run derby. Did you?
Yes, no. Lefty Puma, first ballot Hall of Famer.
All right. Taking a break. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 920 is a shorter segment because Lance kept talking the last segment. So we had Mike Tannenbaum on a little bit earlier in the show. We've got Fabian White Jr. going to be joining us in 10 minutes here. So Mike Tannenbaum was with us a little bit earlier in the show, and we asked him some stuff. And I brought this up on Monday, and we were talking about it, Lance, about Deshaun Watson's value going up with this weekend's games because of how, you know, you gotta look at the teams that didn't have quarterback play and look what happened. You know, it's Jimmy Garoppolo is the only
one. This weekend, more than any weekend, it was not necessarily. You know, Garoppolo, Aaron Rodgers, neither one of them played great.
But Aaron Rodgers, they got there because of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, yeah, MVP. Goes without saying, but. Yeah, never has it been more. I think the Josh Allen thing is what's really sinking in with people, like, oh, my God. Everyone made fun of this guy, made fun of the pick, and he's turning into a monster. The Rams went and made a pick for Stafford, and Stafford's thrown for, you know, Stafford's going to throw for what he threw for almost 700 yards in two wins against the Tampa Bay Bucks this year. Like, oh yeah, that's right. Quarterbacks really do matter.
Man, my favorite is when it's fourth and two, and they snap the ball to Josh Allen like a peewee, a little league football play, and the quarterback just runs a sweep, and he picks up the and they can't stop him. It's just like, oh my!
They started running that on third and seven, just trying to get in range for a fourth and five.
What
like fourth and four?
What a weapon!
What a
Holy
weapon that
cow.
Is! Yeah.
So
and Cam was that same weapon. You know, Carolina used Cam effectively. Like he was unstoppable near the goal line. You couldn't stop Cam Newton inside the 2 yard line. It was impossible. Better than Derrick Henry. Cam just was never the consistent passer that Josh Allen appears to be developing into.
Yep. So he said, Mike Tannenbaum agreed. How desirable is the head coaching gig? Well, you know, he said, well, for him, it's all about players. I don't know. I want to know that the GM is capable. I want to know that the organization is solid. I want to know that they've got salary cap to go out and get players. I think those things would be important to me. Mike Tannenbaum said, just give me players. Do they have good players? Because that's the job that I want. Now, we also asked him about Josh McCown, and kind of a surprising answer here. I mean, when all these candidates that are out there that have head coaching experience or coordinator experience, Josh McCown is a guy who had zero, nothing, not at the high school, not at the peewee level, zero coaching experience, and yet here's what Mike Tannenbaum had to say about him as a candidate for the Texans.
Right. If he has the right staff around him, guys, and he's sitting at the top of the food chain, I think it can work. They're going to need to be patient. He's going to make mistakes. I know what it was like to be a first-year GM, how many first-year mistakes I made. So I'm really okay with it. It has to be something that there's alignment from ownership to Nick Caserio and patience to develop.
Interesting. And he thinks he really likes Josh McCown. He knew Josh McCown. He says, now, number three, play number three. Play, here's him talking about Josh McCown, the person.
Yeah, I'm actually, you're asking the right guy about Josh McCown because one of the great privileges of my career was between the time I was with the Jets and the Dolphins, I was actually an agent representing coaches. One of my clients was Steve Kerr, and I think there's so much about Josh McCown that's similar to Steve, like hardworking, smart, relatable, has unique and compelling leadership capability. So I'm in favor of it, and I hope he's successful because if he is, guys, imagine the conversation we could be having in 2 to 3 years about potential other head coaches. So I love an out-of-the-box idea. I'm not into groupthink, so I really like the idea.
The difference now, there's one difference, okay, in comparing him to Steve Kerr.
Well, the sport, number one, I think is,
well,
it's a more challenging sport. Okay.
And he's also a better roster?
Okay. The big difference is he stepped into the greatest shooting tandem in the history of basketball.
Yeah. That's true.
But you know who he followed? Who did Steve Kerr follow?
Okay. Yeah. Well,
first time coach, Jackson. Mark
right.
Jackson.
Right. But if Steve Kerr took over the Timberwolves, would we be talking about Steve Kerr? No.
No.
Guess what the Texans are? The Timberwolves.
Guess what? Steve Nash took over the Nets. They ain't the Warriors.
No. If Steve Nash took over, Orlando, guess what?
No, but what they'd I'm still saying be Orlando. Is, even with great talent, that doesn't.
No, even, but Josh McCown's not getting great talent.
No, and that's the, and okay, but let me just play devil's advocate for a second. But what if it's not about winning this year? What if it's about growing? Let me make a case maybe for Josh McCown. I don't really believe this, but let me make a case for him.
Well, just, as long as you're making an argument you don't believe in.
Let me just argue this devil's advocate point. What if I said, okay, well, he's not going to be ready as a coach now. Nobody's ready to be a head coach until they've been a head coach and they experience it. Wouldn't now be the perfect time to get a guy who might be special in the future while it's at the very bottom and expectations are lowest?
Is that what we're finding out with Steven Silas? I got a tweet this morning that said, I just don't think, hey, watch last night's game. Steven Silas ain't the guy. You walk into a situation as a first-time head coach, and you're going to be judged as a coach, not as a first-time head coach with a crappy lineup, not with a crappy roster. He's got a crappy roster, no chance to win, and guess what? People are criticizing Steven Silas for this.
I'm going to say it again.
You can't criticize
your judgment of Josh McCown, the media's judgment, Michael Irvin's judgment, Stephen A. Smith's judgment is irrelevant because the Texans, more than anyone in football, are insulated with an owner who doesn't get it and with a we control this stuff front office. And so they don't care what the outside noise has to say about Josh McCown. They will continue to roll with it for a good 3 years at least.
Oh, really? Because it was one and done.
Because he was a placeholder.
Well,
maybe the owner hired him.
If I look at that and I go, wow, look what you did to David Culley. Well, you gave him $22 million, so
right.
Well, give me $22 million, I'll take a year, and I'll have my reputation ruined. 927, when we come back, Fabian White
I'll
Jr.
I'll do it for way less. Listen, if somebody out there has a lot of money,
you
can do a lot. I'll let you do a lot, not stuff.
And, oh, by the way, it's going to be very difficult to ruin my reputation.
And it'll be for a lot less money than $22
million.
I'm a relative bargain.
Pretty damn easy to ruin my reputation.
I'm a relative bargain, but you are going to have to get to seven figures.
Fabian White Jr., we're talking Cougs basketball when we come back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about HRP, HRP.net, 281-880-6525. I've been telling you about HRP for a while now, and I want you to try. Actually, you've heard it. You're not completely satisfied with your payroll company. They haven't been taking care of you with the Affordable Care Act. They don't take care of you with tax-wise. They don't have all the HR answers. They don't have the answers with your small business loans. Did you try to do all of that stuff yourself? Are you still trying to do all that yourself? Are you wasting so much money on payroll, paying somebody to do all of that? Well, this is the economical way to get the payroll done. But not only payroll, HR. And, oh, by the way, they're going to give you the options of your insurance, of your 401k, all your benefits packages. They're going to do that for you. But they're not going to force one of those on you. They're going to let you choose those things because that's not what they do. They do HR and payroll. And they're awesome, awesome, awesome with the Affordable Care Act. So that is kind of a big deal. You do not want to be fined. So if you're looking for that payroll company like we were and we got them, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it's 9:32 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bring it in, Fabian White Jr., senior forward for the number 7 ranked team in the country, the University of Houston Cougars. Hey, Fabian, we appreciate you being here. Thanks for getting up and doing this with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Are you normally up at this time, or did you make a special effort for us?
No, I'm normally up at this time.
You are? So, number 7 in the country. Fabian, with all that you guys have been through, with all the injuries, how do you got to feel proud? How do you feel about being a top 10 team in the country right now with everything that's going on this season?
It feels good. I'm proud of all my teammates that stepped it up. Marcus and T-Mark went down. I feel like as a team, we believe in each other and believe what we're doing. So us still winning and not coming as a surprise. Man.
We make a big deal with we had Coach on last week, or week before, one or the other. We kind of make a big deal on the show here that, you know, one of the things that's great is seeing the coaches just got a bunch of dogs and that, you know, you guys are willing to play straight 40 all day, every day energy. I mean, just banging the boards 5 at a time, always defending, extending defense. Is that something that's fun for us to watch because we don't see it a ton in basketball all the time? Is that something that you guys really take pride in? Do you recognize that you're unique in that regard to an extent?
I don't know. I think it's just the culture that Coach Staff has implemented in everybody. Really, we have the word culture in the back of our field room. It's just basically what you just say right there. Just play as hard as you can for as long as you can. And usually we have a son, but now we don't have a son, so we just got to go back to summer conditioning and remember them tough times and remember that was way harder than the game that we're doing right now. So just got pushed through.
Fabian White with us, Fabian White Jr. here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Okay, when Tremont's getting his surgery that same night, Marcus gets hurt and he's done for the season. Honestly, how down were you? And was there any thoughts that maybe this season is done?
Well, I was down for Marcus and T-Mark because I know how much they really want to play, and they was having good seasons before they decided to have surgery. But no, there was no point where I thought the season was over. Whenever I heard the news, I texted JC and Tyzee and told him that we got to step up as the seniors, really the grad seniors, and really show that we could still be pretty dominant in this league.
Are you even surprising yourself? I mean, with Kyler stepping up, like you said, JC, Josh Carlton stepping up, you stepping up, you know, you guys, is there... Do you know nightly who's going to get the points, or is it just get, you know what, we don't care, we'll just grab whatever points we can?
Yeah, we really don't care who scores. It's just recently now we got the high-end Kyler. Before that was JC, so none of it turned out as a surprise. We all knew that we could step up and do more. We just always had Mark. Mark always, you know, you could depend on him to have at least 18 and 20, and we've been good with just always having like 10 or something like that. But now it's just whatever's hot, and we're going to ride big coattail for the game and just watch up and rebound.
What was it like for you? I mean, I want to talk about the gang rebounding because that is something that you guys, you know, I was looking through your box scores, and 14-10 might have 4 in a particular game. It's almost like you never know whose day it's going to be on the boards. But I guess when you're always making it a priority, that's the kind of that's what helps give you guys success. You're not overly reliant on one player to do one thing in every game.
Yeah, we had a plan to rebound as soon as we step on campus and we start doing like bubble drills where they put something on the rim where the ball can't go in and they shoot it and it just comes off all different types of directions. And the three of us got it's whoever gets four rebounds first. So we always have competition with rebounders and stuff, and we all really want to be the leading rebounder. So it's all just a competition. That's why we gain rebounders.
You guys are always competing to see who can grab the most boards, who can play the most defense. What's it like? We got Fabian White Jr. with us, forward for your Houston Cougars, number 7 ranked team in the country. Fabian, what's it like to play for Coach? I don't imagine it is for everybody, you know, that you got to have a mindset that you're going to give it everything you've got, every practice, every game, if you're going to play for Kelvin Sampson.
Yeah, it's not for everybody, but if you want to succeed and you want someone that's going to play the best out of you, you should want to come to University of Houston because it's a family-oriented program. All assistant coaches really want you to get better. Seeing how I developed from a 5 to where I am now, as the Tennessee coach, Kellen, always working me out. So Coach Sanson really just wants the best in everybody, so he really knows how to bring it out in.
How proud are you that your former high school, my son got his squad got their asses kicked by Atascocita last year in basketball. They were pretty serious. I know you got to a state championship game. How proud are you that the program you came from continues to be one of the top teams in the state?
I'm very proud of that. It's just Coach Martinez. Coach Martinez has always been a good coach since probably out of the middle school. He's taking Umpool to be playoff ready and all that. So it just shows how good of a coach Martinez is.
Umpool, Kingwood, Atascocita. Isn't it really all the same thing?
Yeah, but it's different high schools.
Atascocita's just better, ain't it?
Yeah.
So I think JT played against Fabian back in when he was at Atascocita.
But it didn't
By
go
the
great.
Way, no, it didn't go well. Didn't go well at all. Atascocita was badass, I'll tell you that right now. Fabian, if not for the injuries, a lot of people are thinking that this team was as good, if not better, than last year's Final Four team. You must have been feeling pretty good when this was rolling early on.
Yeah, when the season started, we kind of just dropped everything that happened last year and all the comparison. So we just focused on this year and just having fun with this year. You can lose yourself in that, and you cannot have fun if you try to win with some other teams. Expectations. We have a whole different set of expectations, so we're just really focusing on that right now.
You're shooting 37.5% from three. Are you telling Coach, listen, I'm just going to stand out here, Coach? I hope you don't mind. I'm just I'm a 3-point shooter now. That's what I'm going to do.
He wouldn't let me do that. I still got to go get a rebound. I feel like I got to get inside game. So I'm not just relying on a 3-point shot.
Fabian, he plays too much. John plays too much. Don't listen to him.
No, that's what I tell Coach.
You ain't going to tell
him
nothing.
I'm going to stand out here because I'm your shooter.
Go ahead. Tell him.
Right?
You won't tell him on a phone call.
I'm your Steph Curry. All
right? You won't tell him on a phone call, I bet.
No.
Well, you don't mind putting it up, though. You're doing it. You must be feeling pretty good out there.
Yeah, I do. I do. It does feel good to shoot the threes. It just helps expand help our offense out really because they can't really help off. So it helps people, helps our guards drive and make plays off of that.
You're here 5 years now. Obviously, you have hopes. You got hopes of getting to the league, I would imagine?
Yes, sir. I do.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, you keep playing the way that you are and doing the things that you do. I mean, you know what? They need more. They need more guys that'll play as hard as you.
Yeah, but keep enjoying the process because you guys have, since you've been at that school, there's been a renaissance of basketball. And growing up watching Cougar basketball when I was a kid, loved those old school teams, and you guys have brought a lot of that back to the city. So keep enjoying what's going on right now, because man, it's people are going to look back at this time of Cougar basketball and say, "Man, do you remember during this time frame?" And you've been there for the whole thing.
Yeah, and just what Coach says, we're talking about since recruiting me, we're talking about turning this program around. So it feels good to see it actually unfold.
Was nice to see a big crowd against East Carolina too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's nice to have the games kind of be not sold out but packed up.
Did you feel bad at any point for East Carolina?
No.
Nah, I didn't.
Come on, baby.
Beat the brakes off of them.
You can't beat their brains in like that and not feel sorry at all for them.
Yes, you can.
We had a goal in mind, and I was trying to play the best defense we can all game, so that's what happened.
That happened. 36 points. I guess you guys did.
At some point, it becomes like, let's see if we can keep them from getting a 40. That has to be your goal at some point. Hey, what's your team goal? Do you have a team goal? I'm sure you do, where field goal percentage, points scored. Like, what are some of those team goals that y'all have going into each game?
I feel like you try not to let them score more than, like 25. Because we get a defensive rating, because that's what we're big on, trying to be top 10, top 5 in defensive rating efficiency. So,
how much has your basketball IQ improved in playing at University of Houston, and whether it's, you know, understanding defensive concepts, some of the analytics that you guys may look at, just the different, you know, your understanding of the sport. Let's say if you were to coach one day or whatever, how much have you learned as a basketball player coming from the program where you were, and then, you know, and then working with Coach Sampson and his staff?
I learned a lot, because Coach Sampson has a lot to give. Like he's taught me a lot defensively. He says learn the system when you first get here, and try to learn how to play as hard as you can for every possession. So that's the main goal you got to get over. But other than that, it's just listening to Coach Sampson and listening to and really learning the system is really gonna help you improved IQ here, so that's just what I did.
That's Fabian White Jr., forward, University of Houston, number 7 ranked team in the country. Fabian, thanks for your time, man. Thanks for getting up for us. We appreciate it, and continued success. We're all rooting for you guys.
Thank you for having me.
All right, that's Fabian White Jr. right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, when we come back, should you feed meth to a squirrel? That's the question that we will answer.
No, a squirrel, yeah.
Yeah, squirrels.
Squirrels aren't even.
Really?
Squirrels are the worst.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, no. Actually, I'm not sure. Still got a fear of them jumping out of trees on me.
Well, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, okay.
That's what.
I'd like to redact. Well, it's not even redacting. I'm retracting my answer, and I'll hear the story first.
All right. Here's the story. About a man named Jeff Aronoff. And Jeff Aronoff is a guy who is out there. He is working. He is working hard, not only in this city, but all over the country. He told me he was in Atlanta putting in all of the countertops for a hotel there. He tells me he's in Dallas working on this job. Listen, he does big jobs. You got a big, big job. You got a restaurant that you need a patio. You got a, or you want to redo your bar. If you want to do that at home, you've got a bar area that you want to redo. It's unbelievable how good it is, what he can do, how advanced the technology is, how advanced all of the marble and granite, and how he can make it look just perfect every single time. Outdoor, indoor, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is that you need to renovate, Jeff Aronoff is here for you. And tell him you want that 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. Give him a call. Let him start the process. He'll do it all. He is not going to subcontract it. He's the contractor and the builder. Give him a call at 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. Absolute marble and granite.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Some people are too stupid to have their jobs. Apparently, Delaware lawmaker Lance referred to Asian women as a racial slur.
I'm sorry, say that again?
He referred to Asian women.
He used a racial slur.
Now he's claiming that he has PTSD after all the backlash that he has faced.
Oh, that created it.
Yes.
He's not saying PTSD caused it.
He's saying the backlash that he's been canceled, the cancel culture has him, it exacerbated PTSD.
It may have.
But if probably you used that, and it was a pretty awful racial slur.
Yeah, probably independent of, yeah, you may have. I'm not saying he's not.
Yeah.
He didn't get it. Probably, though, that's independent of what he said, though. So I'm not sure that if you're going to make the excuse, what you do is you use the PTSD before. So that's how the excuse making, you're supposed to use the PTSD before all that stuff happened. Oh, no, it caused it.
Right. So this sounds like a story that I might be reading about you and your family someday. A Florida family took a detour to a North Carolina city thinking it was the Swiss Alps. So...
Okay. No, we would never make that mistake.
Oh, really?
How would we make a mistake?
How long did it take you to get to College Station one time?
The Swiss Alps? You can't just get to the Swiss Alps. They're kind of far away.
Well... Apparently, they did a Google search. They saw the snow-capped mountains. They did a Google search. We should go there. They asked what the name of the place was, and I'm like, Gastonia. They routed it, and we went, and I just kept scrolling. I don't think I've ever been to Gastonia. Well, they ended up, apparently, in Gastonia, North Carolina.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Thinking if you just it type was the in, Swiss Alps.
Google, send me to Gastonia.
Right. Now,
mountains.
Can you see you actually doing that someday? I honestly think I can.
Okay, Gastonia, North Carolina. Okay, yeah, directions. I will tell you, right now, if I want to get there, I'm going to have to leave. I actually got to. It's a 14-hour and 47-minute drive.
You better get going.
I'm going to have to get going.
So you get there.
It's 1,021 miles from here. Closer from Florida.
Apparently an Alabama man. He's got face tattoos and weapons charges, a former felon. He was feeding squirrels meth in the hopes that they would attack people. Do you think that he should be that it's his fault or the squirrel's fault if they attack people on meth?
It's not the squirrel's fault.
Well,
the squirrels need to be eradicated. There's nothing good the squirrels do other than leave shells of pecans in your yard for you to step on, which is why I got rid of my pecan tree. But, and get into your attic. Squirrels are terrible. Squirrels are the scourge of the earth.
Right.
They are the scourge of the earth. With that said, I also have respect for, I've seen a video of a squirrel attacking a woman before, and it's never left my mind. The idea that a squirrel could jump, it's in the same category as snake through a toilet, squirrel out of a tree onto me. It's always in the back of my mind that when I'm like throwing something at a squirrel, that it could just
Why are you throwing something at a squirrel?
I want to hit it. Because the squirrel was in my...
Well, no wonder they attacked
me. The squirrel was in my gutter.
The squirrel tears up our
plants. It gets into my attic. It chews through wood and... got into my attic. That's why we had to go and get the siding put in from Allstate. No, squirrels are terrible. And I'll throw stuff at them. Well, and I've never hit them. But I'm hoping to one day hit them. But here's the thing. In the back of my mind, I know if the squirrel goes,
what?
Bitch, did you just... What did you just do? And I will run into the house if I see a squirrel turn to me.
Yeah.
Oh, I was frisbee golfing and a squirrel at one of the parks, too much human interaction. Because this squirrel, I got up close and I started doing this.
You start bowing up on him?
The squirrel started bowing up on
what?
Me, and I immediately had respect for, like, I'm just not
gonna. You got a weapon. You got a frisbee.
Yeah, but if a squirrel takes off at me, how am I going to get a squirrel off me if he climbs up my leg and starts
and then
biting
rabies
me?
Shots?
No. Yeah.
Hey, there is a...
God, I hate squirrels.
A guy named Christopher Key. He is a urine-drinking Alabama anti-vaxxer who travels the country hating vaccines, but he doesn't have a driver's license. He says he doesn't need one because he's a free man. Do you think if you drink urine... And you're an anti-vaxxer.
I was trying to get where does the urine drinking come in?
I don't know, but he likes to drink his own urine.
Does it stop COVID?
I'm
curious how the urine drinking.
Do you think you should drink your own urine and not get COVID?
No, I don't. But I have heard about these free men before, where they also don't believe in taxes. There's a lot of things that can get them arrested.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe in. Driver's license. Obviously, they're not even going to even try to get paper plates. They're not even going to put enough effort into paper plates to try to pretend like they're above board.
Do you think Cristiano Ronaldo is attractive?
I mean, yeah, I don't want to do him, but yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I'm not stupid.
Well, there is a man apparently in England who attacked his girlfriend because she didn't find Cristiano Ronaldo attractive. Well, here's...
I don't have to worry about it. My wife, he's on her list too.
Yeah, mine too.
I'm like,
what?
You want me to show you pictures? You got no shot. Good luck. Good luck.
Go get you some, girl.
Go ahead, take
your
shot.
Well, apparently she told him,
it ain't happening.
My ex-boyfriend is more handsome than Cristiano Ronaldo.
Well, that's the
problem.
And
then she took a beating.
Okay. Not a beat.
Yeah, she took a beat.
She did domestic violence?
Yeah, it was a domestic violence. 956 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Aqueduct Plumbing is what we're talking right now. Those are our peeps, Billy and Mary. We really, really, really support them. We love their philosophy of business. And this is how we keep talking about this stuff. Who's going to give you an honest price? Who's going to come to your home and give you the service that you want? Who's going to give you the product that you want? I mean, that's kind of a big deal when you're talking about a company, and this company does that. And it's in a kind of, I don't want to say that the plumbing industry is kind of slimy, but here's the deal is there are plenty of instances where the plumber will come to your home and he'll say, you know, he'll be like, yeah, and gouge you. And why do plumbers live in such nice houses? Because they really,
and why do they say things like, yeah?
Yeah.
Like, what? No, you can trust them. And that's the main thing for us is we want somebody. Listen, there's lots of plumbers that can do work for you and do the job, but do they do it effectively, efficiently, at the right price? Are they trustworthy? They check all the boxes. Make sure that you go to thebenchplumbing.com for any and all plumbing needs, from big to small, thebenchplumbing.com. Because we're going to be legends. Going to get their attention. What we're doing here ain't just scary. It's about to be legendary. Bye, bitch. ESPN 97.5.